articulate things well. It makes a difference. Turn to your Bibles to Jeremiah 23. A beautiful passage here that I think about and is so powerful. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 21. And this has to do with the power of the Word of God. You know, this Word of God is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it has the ability to transform lives. And it's amazing the responsibility God gives to us men to preach the Word. It's His means of converting sinners. In Jeremiah 23, verse 21, it says here, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. They were doing their own thing. But, look, this is amazing to me. But if they had stood in my counsel, God's word, and had caused my people to hear my words, then should they have turned them away from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. If they would have stood and with His word and spoken His words to His people, it would have had a transforming effect on the people. The Word of God has the power to change lives. Turn them away. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in secret places that I should not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what these prophets said. They prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are the prophets of deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by the dreams, which tell them that, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Then is this verse here. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? The conviction of the Holy Spirit falls on the heart of men as the word of God is preached. Men and women come under conviction. I'm sure we can all testify to this. So that was one. There's much more that could be said on the power of the word of God, but we'll not go on in that. We could look there in, is it in Ephesians? I quoted some of it already. But there's another dimension that I think that is very important as we preach the word of God, and that is brokenness. It's not about coming up here and putting on some talent show and trying to impress people. There's something about that I admire when there's an older brother and he preaches and tears come. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's something powerful about that. That just the brokenness and the anointing of God that comes when we're humble and when we have a true love and compassion for His people, and just, and along with that, a burden,
yes,
for what God has laid on our hearts. It's more than our own wisdom and our ability to put thoughts together, brothers. It's more than you just, you know, figuring out how to say it just right. No, it's about brokenness. And that opens the way for the Holy Spirit to move. It's not about you getting the glory, but you're doing it for the glory of the Lord. It's a spiritual work. We need to hear from God. We need to be broken, empty of self, for the Spirit of God to flow through us. It takes labor and travail and prayer if there is to be fruit. It's not something we can just do quick and expect fruit. We need to touch an anointing of God. We need to be right and walking with God. There's something powerful about tears. Is there anything anyone that has so far to share on this? We'll get more into some practicals a little later. Okay? Number three is the importance of knowing the Word of God. And to preach effectively, we need to know God, His Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, there's something beautiful that comes through you personally, young man, getting in this book, and you read this book,
yeah,
and you begin to see,
yeah,
what's important to God.
Amen.
You see what God has to say about life. And a burden comes on you. And out of that, you bring something to the people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's powerful. It's not just you thinking up a thought to share. But as you are in this book,
yeah,
you're in this book, the Word of God, and your heart begins to burn.
Yeah. You see, this is how God feels about this. And a message comes from that rather than you thinking up something and going to the Word to try to find something to support your argument. There's something about knowing the Word of God and letting that shape our mind, our thinking. And then out of that, preaching the Word. We're called to preach the Word. You know, it's a blessing that we don't have to preach our own thoughts, right? We're called to preach the Word. It's right here. You know, I appreciate the way that when Brother Sean preaches, it's simple, but yet it has teeth to it. You know what I'm saying? It's not some profound thoughts, but yet it's the Word of God made applicable to our lives. And I appreciate it. It doesn't have to be something huge and profound. It's the Word of God.
Yeah.
It's not our own thoughts, our own opinions. We're called to preach the Word. Anything else? Anything that you all have here? These are just some more of the foundational spiritual elements of it.
I did just think of one thing. I can't remember who it was. You're talking about tears, and I forget who it was. I want to say it was William Booth, that he had received a telegram from somebody, basically indicating, you know, that they're laboring, travailing in this church. And forgive me if I got the wrong name, but they sent a telegram to, you know, what should we do? You know, we're doing this. You know, it's just not availing.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote back a 2-word telegram. Try tears.
I see.
Was the telegram
yeah.
back to them?
Uh-huh.
So anyway, just a thought I had.
Sure. Just one number 4 here I have. Is it unspiritual to prepare ahead of time? And I don't think that any of us here feel that way. I know there has been some thought in some places about not premeditating. How Jesus says in Mark 13, he says, take heed to yourselves when they shall deliver you up to councils and the synagogues. You shall be beaten, brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. In verse 11, it says, when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak. Neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. And so there has been some struggles that some have had about even preparing ahead of time to preach in church. And I can see why, but the way I understand this is specifically talking about when you're taken up before a ruler to answer, because honestly, you can worry, be anxious, you know, to take no thought. I think that has the idea of not being anxious about that because you don't know what they're going to ask you, right? And a lot of times in those situations or similar situations, we can be anxious. We can think up this whole argument we're going to give when we're there, and then it doesn't even turn out that way. They ask us a different question, and so it's better to just trust God. God, you help me because I have to answer these questions. But as I see it, it says in 1 Timothy 5:17, as far as ministering in the church, he says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who, what?
Labor
in the word and doctrine. So there's something going on at home in the word of God. He says, but we'll give ourselves another place to prayer and the ministry of the word. And it's, you know, I see Apostle Paul laboring over his scriptures, you know, pondering, praying, and hearing from God in the privacy of his own life. I believe God can, as you're here sharing, God can give inspiration, bring thoughts to your mind that you hadn't thought about, that just go flow right in there with that. Another thought is, one of the gifts is prophets. What's some others? Evangelists. What's another one? Teachers. And teachers, we expect teachers to get their lessons ready at home, right, before they go to school. You know, we expect them to have an idea of what's going to happen in the classroom. And so I don't think it's wrong to... I think it benefits our hearers when we have a clear idea of where we're going and they can follow, right? Would y'all agree with that? Is there any thoughts y'all have on that here? I just want to be clear on that there's something about if, you know, it doesn't have to be a real fancy message, but if you can just have a title and 3 points that you give ahead of time, People know what you're playing, what you're going to be talking about. They know what your steps are through it, and they can follow that as you go along. It's just really helpful to know what's going on. Okay. Anything you have? Anyone have something to share on that? Okay. Okay, so you're going to be getting papers here, right? How many of you got your papers yet?
I haven't given any out.
You haven't, right? Rich has got them, though. So you have you'll get a paper with a scripture or a subject, something. I'm not sure what it's going to be like this time. Is it like a scripture or a topic?
Both.
Both, scripture and topic. Okay. So you get that. And so begin to pray about it. Begin to ponder about it.
Yes.
Begin to look at the scriptures. And there's something about that scripture that you're given. Read that scripture.
Yes.
Think about it. Think about the words that are there. Think about how it applies to your life. And just muse on that scripture. When you get this scripture right away, you think, what is there in that? You know, what is that? You know, what, you know, I'll be done in a minute, right? But I've been amazed as you get into the Word of God and you think about that and you realize why that is important. You know, it might not seem important to you when you first get this scripture. There might be some scriptures you think are really important, but as it begins to open up to you,
yes.
It's amazing how I think there's a preacher. It might have been Spurgeon, Philip said. I think he says, you strike the rock and water will come out of it. You know, the scripture, you know, it's like, what is there in that? But you strike that rock, water will come out of it. You know, you got a mind, you got to put some effort in there. But as that thing opens up to you, it's amazing how you begin to feel a burden for this. You know, this is important. God's Word has something to say about this. So you begin to gather information. That's number five. Gather information and develop a burden. Look up words in a concordance and dictionary, but don't belabor definitions. You can belabor definitions and I should say bore people too much. I mean, a certain amount's good, but too much definitions can get too heavy. Ask God to show you what He thinks about it. And write thoughts down. Just, as thoughts come, write them down. Don't worry about having them in the proper order. Just get into the Word of God. And as you do this, you will develop a burden as the Scripture opens up to you. I mentioned this Scripture before. Psalm 39, verse 3 says, My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. And it's something about as you think about that. You know, that's what happens when people struggle with bitterness, right? They roll that thing around in their mind. Think about how mean that person was to me. How he wronged me. And it just builds and builds and builds. There's something that can work in a good way as we think about the Word of God and muse and the fire begins to burn. And go ahead.
I'm sorry, I was going to say Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9 says something kind of similar, talking about the Word of God. And people were actually telling him not to speak. It says, but his Word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. I could not stay.
Yeah.
I could not help but speak
about
what the Lord has put in my heart. So it's the same.
Yeah. Can y'all relate to what I'm saying here? Maybe you haven't, you know, I'm sure some of you haven't spoken very much, but I know that it's important. It's important to begin, you know, who wants to get up here and talk about something you don't think is important? You know, that's laborious. But if you can allow God to give you at least a sense of this matters, this matters, this is worth talking about. And if you can begin to feel that, it helps it to flow with more feeling. And you don't have to be worked up or anything, but it helps you to have more of a burden for it, which makes so much difference in your life. Someone else have anything to say on that? Okay. So, you've been gathering a lot of information, and as you do that, number six here, a topic needs a goal or purpose. You have a lot of information now, a lot of disorganized notes, you may, maybe several pages of your different thoughts, and a burden is beginning to come out of that. And you begin to have a sense of where you want to take this thing, right? Because maybe you're going to speak about the Word of God, but there's way too much to say about the Word of God in 15 minutes, whatever you have. And so, and often even in the messages in church, you have to be able to narrow it down to maybe one or two or three specific goals. Does that make sense? You know, you're shooting at a target. You don't just want to have this be all over the place. You would talk about maybe the Word of God, how it, I don't know, I can't think of something right now, but a specific vein that you want to go to. Does that make sense? And so as you, you may have to leave out certain things. You have several pages, and you begin to, your burden begins to form. You feel that God is leading you maybe in a specific area. These certain scriptures are standing out to you, and you begin to organize an argument. You know what I'm saying? You begin to organize your thoughts. I'm going to open up with them. This is going to be my first point here. Then I'm going to talk more about this, second point, and then about this. And you put some order to that. And it all goes together for a specific purpose and burden. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And there's order to it. And you begin to get an outline then, right? You have your beginning arguments, your main part, and your third point or whatever, or fourth. You might have more. I think it's important to have some order to your sermons, right?
Yes.
It needs to have some order, not just a just a bunch of scriptures, reading a bunch of scriptures about the Word of God. But you want to talk about how the Word of God can encourage us when we're discouraged. And so you narrow it down more to those types of scriptures. And you leave out a lot, right? Because you want... The fact is, brothers, get this. People, you'll spend hours preparing a sermon, right? People go home, they remember this, this, and this. It's about all they'll remember, you know? Or they might remember how long you went, if you went really, really long. Sorry, I shouldn't say that, maybe. But that is true. You spend hours, and this is important, this is big, all this is so good, but they're going to only remember a handful of things when they go home. And it's better if those points are really good and clear and well-made, well, they stick, right? Instead of having a whole bunch of scattered thoughts that kind of leave them a little bit confused. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So have a goal. You should be able to, what I often like to do in my sermon notes is when I'm trying to get my thoughts together and where I want to go, I'll write down my goals for this sermon. My purpose in this. What I want to accomplish in this sermon. What I want, what to hit on, you know, and just, you know, as concise as I can, what my burden with this sermon is. It helps me to narrow my thoughts in that direction. Make sense?
Yes.
I think it's important to narrow that thing down. And you may have to be a little bit ruthless sometimes, leaving out some scriptures that are really good, because it's not going to help to narrow it down to that. You can narrow it too much. It's okay to have a few rabbit trails here and there, but be careful with that. Boil it down. And this sounds bad. I don't want to minimize the Word of God. No, we can we can come up here and read a chapter, and the congregation can be edified by it. Right? Word of God is inspired. But I think in preaching sometimes we can be lazy and we can just simply read too many scriptures. Go here, read this, and you wear the people out, flipping here and flipping there. And there's not, you know, really any burden there, any application in everyday practical life. Would you agree, Brother Rich?
I would agree completely.
Yeah.
The other thing, though, is I've all...
I'm no expert on the subject. I have been... It's always been something that's been a little perturbing. Again, a little here, a little there is not a big deal, but a lot of people will bring other books. Like they'll say, oh, you know, I read this in this book, and they'll just read out of this book, half a chapter or something like that out of this book. It's like, listen, I can read that book at home. You tell me what God's doing in your heart. You know, I want to hear what the Word of God says and what God is speaking to you. I don't want to hear what that guy has to say. I can read that in my own book if I had that book. But just, you know, let's we can rely. You were talking about getting lazy in preaching. I just, again, a quote here, a quote there, or even, you know, a paragraph or something like that from somebody else, I'm not saying is wrong, but I think we can end up, well, that person said it so well, I'll just read what they have to say. I think that's not, I don't think that, kind of a crutch.
I really like this scripture in Nehemiah. It says, so they read in the book, it says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. Yes. And when he opened it up, all the people stood. Yes. And then it says, so they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly. You know, I think it's a good word there to speak clearly. And gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. You know, I got the idea that they opened to them the scriptures. He said, this is what it means to obey this. This is how you walk it out in everyday life. And there's something valuable about helping the people understand how this applies to their life. You know, we can all get a concordance and look up all the places that it says about the Word of God and just for an hour read that. We can do that. We can all do it at home. There's something about when a brother makes it applicable to our lives. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I don't want to minimize the scriptures at all. No, they're powerful, as we started out with. But get into it yourself. Get the fire burning in your heart and make it matter to the lives of the people. I don't feel like I'm making it clear, but I'm probably just overstressing it. Go ahead.
Stephen calls it the shotgun sermons, you know, where you kind of kind of stand back and just kind of generally point in a certain area and just squeeze off and you just hope you hit something. But those are not very effective. You know, if you went deer hunting with a shotgun, you're not going to get very far. You know, you need a rifle if you're going to get it done. And so I think that's what you're talking about, just, you know, having it narrow it down to what you want to communicate. And also this whole thing of helping people apply it to give the sense. I think that, you know, makes a difference between a okay sermon or a very interesting one. If somebody, you know, all of a sudden you realize this is related to my life, well, this is going to affect how I live, or it should affect this or that, as opposed to just some kind of, something about God, but, you know. But when it, I mean, if we can, most scriptures should have an effect on us. And so it's our job as a preacher to understand what that is and help people understand that.
Yeah.
And so,
Yeah, maybe to build on a little further is, and we could turn there, but we know it quite well by heart too, but I love the way Jesus preached. I mean, to me, he's a master example. And he brought in scriptures. You know, he said, it's written. And he would quote a scripture, and he would he'd remind people what the Old Testament said. But then he, you know, but it wasn't just a whole bunch of that. He gave it teeth, and it affected their life today. And he told them in everyday practical things of how this applied their lives. And he didn't bore them and wear them out with just a lot of Old Testament reading. But he gave stories. Talked about the sower walking into the, you know, through the field. He talked about the birds of the air. He talked about building towers. He talked about all kinds of practical everyday life. And people went away knowing what they needed to do in their life.
Illustrations,
yeah. And it makes it become alive. It makes it practical to our lives today. And it makes it much easier to understand. There's much more that could be said about that. Okay, I've covered that. Okay. Isaac, do you have anything to say? Anybody else? Richard?
Just a few thoughts on that, organizing the sermon. Most of us as boys didn't like English in school. The simple exercise of making outlines was super. It does exactly what Brother Levi said.
Yeah.
And that's just the practical side of it. But another thought that I had was sometimes when we go down, have too many side thoughts in it, we might be surprised afterwards that that was the main thing that impressed the people.
Yeah.
Or in other words, that might be the thing that they understood. If a shotgun sermon is needed, I think God will prepare that if we're prepared. Maybe one person needs one thing, one needs another. But I'm not recommending that type of just throwing it out.
Yeah.
I think it should be to the point what we have a title and stick with it. But God can then make the we plant and God makes it grow.
Okay. So, yeah, it's very important, I believe. We don't want to negate God leading a person on the spot. But it's very important to have a good, clear outline, and you should know exactly where you're at in that as you're preaching along. I think, as a rule, you should know where you're at, you know, in your notes. You're at so-and-so point, or you're on, you know, you're halfway through. And it just helps you to be systematic. it takes a lot of work, and you need to go over it several times, probably need to rewrite it, and organize it. You should be easily able to go step by step down through your outline, clearly bring out your points. It's good to, along with that, to be conscious of where you're at and to be conscious of the time and be respectful of other people that also need to speak after you and not to be selfish with the time. But we can get too time conscious as well. Okay, so that brings us, we talked a little bit about this already with Jesus, but a really important point is to use illustrations and stories. Jesus did it almost every sermon. And there's something about that. It puts it in shoe leather. It helps the lights to go on. People realize what you mean and how this looks in everyday life. I mean, don't just read a bunch of scriptures and share a few thoughts on it. But build on it. Help people to understand the sense. And as it says in Nehemiah, and illustrate it with stories from your life, stories from the Word of God, what it looks like when you obey this principle, what it looks like when you don't obey the principle, what the consequences are, and, you know, where the battle lines are, and the seriousness of it, and the importance of it. There's so much that can be said to help flesh this thing out and help people to really get a hold of what you're saying. Don't miss that point. It's not about getting fancy and having some, you know, just far out story or some really highly polished thing, but make it practical. Make it practical and help people to see what it looks like in everyday life. I should be giving illustrations of what I'm giving illustrations. Admiral, here you go.
So maybe this would be an example of that. But like when you're teaching a first grader, what one. Plus two is, you know, you can teach them a concept. One plus two is three, and they can copy that. They know that in their
memorize
head, but they don't know what it means until you, or they won't know as clearly as when you have three crayons there, and you have, two crayons, and then you have another plus one crayon equals how many? And they can see it, and it's like, oh, okay. All of a sudden, all that, words you said, all of a sudden they start sinking in. Like, I get that. You know what I'm saying? So that's how good preaching should be.
Yes. Thank you for that. Other thoughts. I think Spurgeon likens it to putting windows in your building and letting light in. It's like the subject is enlightened then. And but you can have go ahead. Don, were you going to say something?
I was.
Go ahead. I didn't realize that.
My dad used to say that a good illustration is a truth wrapped in a cockleburr. It'll stick.
Yes. A truth wrapped in a cockleburr. Go ahead, Daniel.
Thinking about illustrations, Brother Noah could have spoken for a long time this morning about nonverbal communication and about getting the child's will and having them submit.
Yeah.
But having Silas come up there, it just illustrated it. We knew.
Yeah.
It just stuck in our mind. It's going to stick for a long time, I think.
Yeah, we'll always remember that, right? Yeah. And think back to a sermon that you think of. And What do you remember? You remember the illustration? And it's kind of like a storybook, a children's storybook, and those pictures of the stories, they stick to the children, and it just it's powerful. And so what that does, as you tell that story, as you illustrate it, however you do it, people begin to see pictures in their minds of what you're saying, and the truth from the scriptures. There we go. It's on now. I'm not sure. Okay. So don't miss this one. Please don't miss this one. It'll make so much difference to your sermon. Trust me. Pray about it. Okay, there we go. I'm having a little mic trouble here. So yeah, I don't know how I do in this. I don't listen to myself really, but I often pray that God will help me to help this truth to come alive and give me something from His Word. And you can find there's so many Bible stories in the Word of God that do make really good illustrations and can illustrate your point. And if you're speaking about the Word of God, I can't think of anything right now, but there's stories there of the power of the Word of God in the Scriptures. You can pray about and get a story from. Example. So yeah, our own lives and the failures we've had are also good. If you can in humility share a story in your own life up here of how you failed in this thing, and then people see, yeah, I was that way too, and the lights come on of how the Scriptures matter in our everyday life. What are the first thing you look at when you get the new directory? Do you look at all the details and the birthdays and the anniversaries? No, you look at the pictures. And there's something about, there's that family. There's that family. And there's something powerful about illustrations. Okay, so, and that kind of goes along with application as well, but don't forget to apply it to your words to our life and in practical ways. I remember that one sermon I preached, it was kind of a side note, but I forget what I was talking, I think it was going through a certain passage, and it was something there about our words, and I touched on just, I think, one or two words or figures of speech or substitutes that could be for God's name, my goodness or something, I think. And this got a little bit practical in a few areas. And I think that was a big takeaway for the whole sermon. That wasn't even my point. That was just a certain side thing. But when we get practical and the Word of God touches our everyday life and our words and how we live, there's a response to that. People either appreciate it or they don't appreciate it. And I think that we can err sometimes on not getting practical enough. I remember I really appreciated the one opening Alan gave on, and he just made it practical about picking up trash. And we were down there at that wood cutting, I think? And there's all kinds of, we left a bunch of water bottles in the people's field there, and Alan just brought that and gave some practical direction. And that's, that's good. It's bringing the Word of God into everyday life, and do that. Give examples. So yeah, don't forget illustrations and stories, and don't forget application. Application will not always make people comfortable. So a few more things here. Maybe someone else have more on that? Isaac and Leroy? Kevin, okay.
Your illustrations should enhance your message and not distract from it.
Yes.
I think illustrations are very important. I feel like I should grow in that. But I've seen occasionally where the illustration actually distracted from the purpose the speaker had. You're a frog in the blender, honestly, brother. I'm sorry, but yeah, that to me, that was too graphic. I couldn't believe what I was hearing in church. I totally forgot what you were trying to say with that illustration. So, structure versus life, but I didn't remember that. So, but it was probably okay. But another thing is, some humor can be okay, but if you're preaching a convicting message and then you tell a story with a funny aspect in it, I feel like I've seen where the Spirit of God was moving in a place and then a funny story was told, it can just take it right out of it. So just be illustrations, stories are good, interesting stories, but the main point of the story should still enhance your sermon and not take away from it.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, you can overdo it. I think that illustrations can really enhance, but if there's just too much of that and not enough, just the Word of God being preached and illustrations to complement it, I think it can be overdone. But I think most times we err, probably most of us err on the side of not having enough, I would say. Yeah, Kevin.
You mentioned something about when a preacher, like, you didn't use the word confession, but when a preacher, when I hear a message that a preacher confesses, you know, this, I have failed in this, and gives an example or whatever, I find that powerful, because a lot of times I tend to look at a preacher as, no, I know he's not a perfect person, but, you know, we get this idea of he's up here telling us and he has got it all figured out.
Yeah.
When I hear a speaker and he's confessing that, look, I fail here.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it actually elevates his respect often. Okay. All right. Okay. I think it can be good to, at the end of your sermon, as you bring it to a conclusion, to briefly, you can belabor this, but to briefly go back over and just recap, just restate your main points, and then bring it to a conclusion. It doesn't have to be some long thing, but just I think many of us do that. A simple way, and this seems super simple, and it seems redundant, but I've heard people say, tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them, and tell them what you told them. You know, it's kind of that seems redundant, but there's something, if you listen to a lot of, you know, a well laid out outline, that's often what happens in a very simple way. Yeah.
The last point in the outline is supposed to be the summary.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And you can do that without going over all your points again. Like, you can have a paragraph at the end and say, so let's go forward, and then have, you know, include all your points in like a very
inspirational little last hit. So like Sean could have said, like Sean did this morning, actually, he brought in the Bible, the book and the blood, and said, if you don't have a place for these in your life, you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
So he reminded us of all his points without saying, so I just told you this, this and this.
Mm-hmm.
He had a paragraph where he skillfully included all those points and refreshed our memory.
Yeah, it's good. So was there more on that? I appreciate the input there. It helps me out because I didn't feel like I had it. Thank you for that. All right. I think we're getting towards the end here. Yes. Project your voice. Even if you're using a mic, lift up your voice. And, you know, some of us, we struggle to do that. And it's good to lift up your voice like a trumpet, the scripture says, and tell my people my words, their transgression or sin. And practice it. Practice it at home. I mean, most of us can do it. Some of us are more soft-spoken, but I think a lot of it is just exercise. A lot of it is just doing it and getting over some of your inhibitions. You could yell if you were in trouble. You know, you could yell if your foot was stuck. And so just learn to lift up your voice. And there's something good about that. People shouldn't have to struggle to hear us, you know. Do them a favor of speaking clearly and letting them listen with ease. Project your voice. And read the scriptures with life and enthusiasm and expression. You know, it's powerful. When you give the impression that you think this is important, you know, and read it with some energy and life. Get the mic there.
Just in backing that up, expression. Again, I don't have the exact estimate, but you know, experts in communication will say, I think it's as around 25% of your communication is the words you speak. The rest, you know, the other 75% is in your expression and, you know, voice inflection and body language, facial expression, you know, all those different things all add to your communication. Mm-hmm. So just reading it in a monotone, you're really only going to get 25% of your message across. And doing it that way.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. Abner, here beside you.
I think I forgot what I was going to say. I was distracted because I was thinking of those computer programs that read stuff like, in the beginning was the word, and you know how they, you've heard those Microsoft this and that and the other, these different voices. And it's honestly a pain to listen to that. You know what I'm saying? So that's why we much prefer, if you're listening to somebody, you'd rather listen to a real human being because they can put feeling into what they're saying. So I lost my original train of thought of why I raised my hand. But anyway, so I was just thinking of that.
Better probably come back. About time to get the mic away.
So what I was going to say is I've noticed with my children, like if we're quoting a Bible verse, you know, we try to memorize the Bible together. And it's challenging for them to raise their voice. And I just, every now and then I get convinced. I'm like, yeah, I just have some really soft-spoken children. And their voices are not meant to be very loud. And So I try to be gracious and understand that that's the way God made them. And then next thing I know, like, it's later in the day and they want something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. I mean, all of a sudden I totally reversed my theory about their voice. I mean, they can lift it. So, you know. One of the child has something, the other one wants it, and they're not getting their way. I mean, it gets noisy, I mean, in a heartbeat. And so some of that is just inhibition, you know.
Or
I have them in front of me, you know, they're supposed to quote their verse. You know, everybody's listening to me, and it's just, you know, just so quiet, you can hardly hear it. But so a lot of it can be overcome. You know, there may be some people who actually have vocal cord, you know, problems, and we can always look into that. But generally, if you feel something strongly enough, I mean, it's amazing what your voice can do. So be encouraged.
Yeah. Yeah, there's and a lot of it is also just feeling the importance of what we have to say, you know, and learning to become natural. Right. Most of us are pretty good communicators in everyday life. Right. I mean, if you want to go in and convince your dad that you should be allowed to go along with so-and-so to do so-and-so, you know, you can present a pretty good argument, right? And you want to go. And dad, could I go along? You know, and you're kind of excited about it. And that just bleeds across naturally. And there's been times where I've just pained listening to a preacher not here. But I just wish he could just get away from all the stiff formality and the formal way of speaking and just get a burden for what he wants to say and just say it, you know, and let the importance of it come across and let, you know, and have a burden and let that bleed through as you say it. You know, that's just in a natural way. It doesn't have to be some performance, but just in a natural way. This is important, and speak as if it was important. And read the scriptures with a sense of authority that this is from God, and put the scriptures high on your importance level. So project your voice, read the scriptures with life and enthusiasm. Face the congregation. I know sometimes we tend to be shy and we may have a hard time lifting up our eyes, but try it as much as possible. Get over that and lose yourself in what you're saying. I know that that's easy to say. It can be difficult to do if you're shy. I used to be extremely shy in this. I'd go up I'd go up in front of school and I would have to say my poem and my face would be red and tears would be coming out of my eyes and I was afraid people thought I was crying and it was extremely difficult for me to do that. But somehow I got over it somewhere, at least maybe somewhat. Look at your notes, but then look up and speak facing the people and ask God for courage. It comes easier with time. And if as much as possible, speak in more of a conversational way and not just reading from your notes. It's okay to read a paragraph from your notes, read something from your notes that you write out to clearly communicate something. But then try to speak in the way you would speak at home if you were trying to persuade your dad to let you go along with so-and-so and so-and-so. You're pretty good at saying that, I'm sure. All right. And so, yes, speaking naturally. It comes easier once we have a burden and a sense of importance of what we have to say. Almost done here. Was there something about that that someone had? Go ahead.
Yeah, the scripture speaks about the foolishness of preaching. And I think that there's something in our human nature that we like to be dignified and not come across as a fool. And that has to die, really, in order to be effective. Because, especially as young men, we are very conscious about our image. We don't want to come across as radical. You know, we don't mind being mistaken for a number of things, but definitely not for being radical. And so we'll go to great pains to keep, you know, make sure that we're, you know, our burden, if we feel it, is kept within moderation. You know, voice is modulated, all those things to where, you know, we're not getting out of hand. But there's a scripture, talks about the foolishness of preaching. Mm-hmm. In order to be effective communicator of the word, you've got to be willing to be a fool. As long as you're trying to have dignity of the in the worldly, when you talk about being natural, what I hear you saying is if there's a burden there that the scripture has, you're communicating that burden. The flow of it, the natural flow of that burden is able to come out. It's not the same as the natural man wants to keep his dignity and, you know, just, you know, not get too serious about the scriptural, the spiritual, the things. And so I guess, yeah, I think we should be willing to, we have to be willing to lay aside that fear of being too radical and just be, because I think that's a big inhibition for a lot of us. And so just throw that out there.
Yeah. And one thing to remember, too, is that God does gift some people for speaking, and others may not have that gift, but I think anyone, you know, we're supposed to lead our families, right? Disciple them, open to them the scriptures. And while we may not have as much of a gifting in it, I think we can develop some practical skills. And I think we should be able to, maybe you'll never be called on to give a main message, but I think you should be able to give an opening in an orderly way with some clear points. And it may not be anything, you know, super exciting, but it's something that can feed. It's something that has practical application to it. I think anyone of us should be able to do that. And part of it is just knowing how to apply the tools and the practical skills. So I would like to also lift up the idea of expository preaching. We're called to preach the word. And there's something good about just taking a passage, maybe two or three verses, and digging in there and finding out the important things of that and opening it up and then handling it in much the same way you would a topical sermon from that point. You know, but you get the points from the scriptures instead of having an idea and going to the scriptures. I would recommend that. But once you get that burden, you can handle it much the same way you would a topical sermon. Does that make sense? But it comes out from the scriptures. So meditate on it. Pray about it. Dig in. And it'll begin to open up to you. So yeah, give it your best. Don't feel like you have to measure up to someone else. Don't feel like you have to be someone you're not. Let your own personality come out. We're all different. And that's okay. But seek God. And to recognize the power of the Word of God, allow your own heart to be broken, and it's good to to be first partaker, you know, to apply it first to yourself. How am I doing in this area? And I'm just looking at my different points I had here. Knowing the Word of God, preparing ahead of time, gathering information and developing a burden, developing a goal or a purpose, theme, organizing and sculpturing, narrowing it down, using illustrations and stories. Don't miss that one. Application and conclusion, projecting your voice, facing the congregation, and expository preaching. So there was something else I was going to say. I forget what it was. Any questions you all have? Any questions on anything we talked about today? Any more input from someone else? So thank you for coming, and God bless you as you as you're stretched and exercise yourself. I think you'll find it a blessing. I think Rich had something here.
I just wanted to address everybody here quick.
Did you have something in mind?
I realize that maybe I've spoken more than some other of the young men here. Maybe someone who preaches more could give an idea of how much notes does someone need to fill a 15-minute slot or a 10-minute slot. Because sometimes you feel like, I remember the first time I spoke, like, how do I do this? You know, and you try to do your own little prep talk. And so maybe someone's got a word of wisdom as to that. How much material do you need for a 10 to 15 minute message?
Did you want to answer that?
I'm smiling just because I think that just depends on how verbose a person is. I mean, for an hour long message, I have 2 pages of notes. If I have any more, I go long. Sometimes I go long anyway.
Okay.
But so 15 minutes would be half a page to me, but that may not be for somebody else. So that's kind of a hard question to answer. In my estimation, I don't know, maybe somebody else has something better.
See, would you say that one fellow said if he's going to speak for 5 minutes, he's 2 days to prepare? How was that? give the mic to Lynn.
Well, if I can remember everything, but I guess Abraham Lincoln said it. If he's going to speak for an hour, he'll prepare for 5 minutes. If he's going to speak for a half hour, he needs 2 hours or something. And if he's going to speak for 5 minutes, he needs 5 days or something like that.
I believe he
says that if you get 2 hours, you can start right now. Anyhow, but another thing, like in my small experience with preparing, I'm a terrible reader, so if I have a lot of notes, I'll never get through it. And so something that works pretty well is just a really short sentence that can get my thoughts going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
But then other people are really good at reading. They can read while they're talking, and they might have 3 pages of notes. So I think it varies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Daniel has something there. I think that's good because too many notes can be too clumsy. But if you can have maybe your key point, something that you've thought about enough that when you see even like a heading, it reminds you of what you want to talk about there. It brings that idea to your mind. It seems to work well.
One thing I'm thinking about while we're on the subject of reading, I appreciate when someone has taken the time to read over the passage, maybe even read it out loud to themselves before speaking in front of the audience. Sometimes there's a word in there that'll just completely surprise you and you don't know how to say it. That can be surprisingly distracting to those of us who weren't really thinking about the thrust of the message anyway, and even some who were, it's just easy to be distracted by that. So if we think, if we read the passage out loud to make sure we understand the pronunciation, and also maybe to give, make sure we have the full flow of the thoughts in our minds. I obviously don't have much experience in preaching, but in some other things I've read, when I've read them out loud or read over it first, you have the full flow in your mind, and then you can put the proper expression in as you, as you're reading in front of the congregation. You have, you know, the flow of the thoughts, you put the right emphasis at the right place, and it has a little more life to it.
Andrew, back there.
Yeah, I don't consider myself a skilled preacher, and y'all can testify to that, but when you have a burden and you want to share it and feel it hard to do, to get into words, it can be very frustrating. When it comes to this thing of notes and preparing, I would suggest try different ways. I used to try with the outline just over and over again, and it was just a flop for me. For me, what so far, the messages that I felt I could preach and sit down and feel like I said what I wanted to say were totally written out. I didn't read them then. I can scan faster than I can talk, and so I could get the ideas and stay on track. But my point is, try different things. You know, one person may need a half a page of notes where another person needs 14. If it works for you, you know, I think that's the big thing on that. So.
You have something? Go ahead.
One thing I would like to say about the notes, and you were saying about speaking in a conversational tone, is I have seen people look at their notes, and when I'm talking to someone, I don't want them looking everywhere else. I like to make eye contact with who I'm talking to. And the same way, if somebody's preaching, he doesn't necessarily have to make eye contact with me personally, but if he's making eye contact with the congregation, like he's actually talking to us. I like that a lot better than somebody that's just here reading his notes or looking at the ceiling or looking at his feet. To me, that the message may be great, but you don't take as much away from it if you're not, you don't feel connected to the speaker. And now I haven't ever preached a message, so I might be terrible at that myself, but I'm just saying that's as a listener, that's what I no, I didn't.
Yeah, right. And this is, you know, it's comes down to that natural thing again, because when Johnny's trying to convince Daddy that he can go along, he's not looking at his feet, and he's serious about communicating what he wants to say, what he wants to say. So it's that same thing. When we feel this is important, it really helps in our communication. So. All right. Well, are we done? Yes.
I was just going to address, I've got slips up here for everybody who signed up. There's some people sitting here that I don't have a slip for. I don't know if you're all coming. Stephen, are you? Okay. I don't know. Should I give him a? Okay. Right. Anyway, I've got some signed up here, and if you're going to be here a lot of the time, but maybe not quite all the time, please talk to Andrew as to whether or not you'll be assigned something to teach or not to teach and preach on. On the subjects I have here, you can look at them either way. You can look at it as a subject thing or an expository thing. There is a subject, but then there's also a verse reference, so you could. If you really want to dig into that specific verse, that's fine. I mean, that's the verse that I should say. I looked at the verse, and I determined a subject based on that verse is what I is the way I came up with these things. So the target here is 10 to 15 minutes. In years past, it sounds like it's been limited to 10. We've got a little bit smaller group this year, so go 10 to 15 minutes, somewhere in that range. Is what our target is. Okay, so 15 is fine. So And I can verify that same thing that we were talking about with Abraham Lincoln. That if I have to do something, maybe I'll say it inversely. I tend to go longer the less preparation I have. I guess it's saying the same thing. If I don't prepare much, I end up kind of rambling rather than being organized enough to speak the point. So anyway, I've got these here. I'll hand them out. And if you certainly, you know, if you have another verse that you'd like to use instead of this verse, that's okay. Subject or the verse. I mean, to me, they're both one and the same, but there's often multiple verses that could say the same point, or one verse could speak multiple subjects. But I was going to put some suggestions on here, but I thought that would be a little bit too easy as far as a question to ask. You know, what about this? What about this? What about this? You know, consider this, consider this. But I decided not to do that because it's making it too easy on you. So I think it's good for us to dig in. So anyway, I'll just go ahead and hand these out. I've got them in alphabetical order, so I'll just call out your name and raise your hand if I don't see you right away.